buddy. Wait till we're Facebook in here. Okay, all right. So, Lord, we come here to learn what is your will and to show our appreciation and love for you. On this day, we remember you. On this day, we remember your son, Jesus. On this day, we remember the sacrifice he made to deliver us from our own inequity. Enrich us, Lord. Show us how to be true Christians and take your word out into the world as in the days of old. Help us to keep your day holy and use it to center your spirit in us. Amen. Fingertips are dry. He died for our sins after torture and humiliation, after riding into Jerusalem to the cheers of crowds, after teaching people how to love and to follow the true way, capital W, to God in heaven, after turning the tables on the Pharisees and the money changers, after putting Satan in his place in the desert and on top of the temple, after turning water into wine and raising Lazarus, after walking on water and showing that true faith lifts everyone, after feeding 5,000 and teaching us to pray, after being baptized by John and God's prize showing from the sky, after teaching at the synagogue and making his mother worry, after traveling from Egypt to begin his ministry, after a virgin birth heralded by angels and visited by shepherds and kings, after a millennium of prophecy fulfilled, praise God for his amazing love. After all, he died for us. Song. Oh my. It can't be stated too often. He died for me. He took my sins and wiped them away by taking that walk to Calvary. All my sins are paid for by a tremendous act of love. And all that's required is to have faith in Jesus Christ. God is good. And all the time, amen. Dancing is required here. Thank you. Oh, please be seated. Okay. Read with me, brothers and sisters. For it is by grace you have been saved through faith, and this is not from yourselves. It is the gift of God, not by works, so that no one can boast. For we are God's handiwork, created in Jesus Christ to do good works, which God prepared in advance for us to do. Amen, amen. God's grace has saved us. Faith, gifts from God, not earned by earthly works. Yet we are God's creation, and we will by nature do good works in his name and grow the faith. Amen.
Great singing, by the way. Yeah. Great singing. Thank you, praise team. And God is good. And all the time. Thank you for our guest here today. Appreciate you being here. You're a blessing to us. As we go to prayer, first of all, I wasn't here last week. Dr. Newman has filled in for me. And thank you for giving me the time off. Mary Lou and I were able to get a couple of days in and just enjoy time with each other. But thank you, and I want to publicly thank Tommy for doing Lacey Day. It was good stuff, right? Good stuff. Frank's not here today. He's a little bit under the weather. He helped Tommy in this, and then there was a cast of crew and characters that helped him. Yeah. My understanding is we gave out every Bible we had. Amen. And that's what it's all about. That's what it's all about. We'll have another opportunity when we do the Coke giveaway in December. Generally, we'll take whatever inventory we have left and give it away. I don't know how much we've got left. But, we'll give it away. God will supply. So we praise God for that. We also had a prayer box there. Yeah, you, Chip? We can start anytime. Yeah, we can start anytime. What's more crucial this year than the donations is the help. We need help, for doing that. But anytime we'll take the donations. We had the prayer box set up. I want to read to you some of the prayer requests. We're going to pray for these people. And also, we have, as you well know, Gail Hahn going through some serious surgery tomorrow for pancreatic cancer. And we're going to lift both she and Vince in prayer a little later on, okay? But listen to the prayer requests. Some of these have names, some of them don't. Lord, please save our country and defeat all of the evil in this world. Simple but good, huh? Please pray for my health, as we have discovered I have a heart complications. Thank you and God bless. So, we're all in this together, right? Pray for all those in despair, depression, anxiety, and please heal their hearts to look for faith and have faith and hope. All right. And then this is a little bit hard to read. I hope I read it correctly. For the state of New Jersey to retain or return to what our forefathers intended, liberty and prosperity. So, these are some, just a sample of the prayer requests that we get, and we're going to pray for those things. I'm going to put it to you this way. I'm at the age where I say, if today's a good day and you feel good and you don't have a whole lot of complications going on, praise God, right? If tomorrow it changes, praise God anyhow, because he'll see us through. Our dear sister Gail Hahn is going to have a very, very difficult time tomorrow, in that I can't imagine the anxiety that going under the knife for something like this. And we need to uphold her in prayer. So what I'm going to ask from you guys is a commitment to pray for her through the day. And then pray for Vince. Vince is not going to be at the hospital. Is that correct, Sharon? He's going to be home. So if the Lord lays it on your heart, call him every once in a while just to see how he's doing. Because, you know, you guys know through this, when a family member, especially a spouse, goes through something, it affects the other spouse immensely. So we need to encourage him. So why don't we go in prayer, and I'll pray for these things, and then I'll pray for Gail and Vince. Father, you brought the people who you wanted to Lacey Day. We're grateful. We're grateful for that ministry. We're grateful that this year the turnout was good and people interacted. Father, my understanding was we were busy and right up until closing, right up until 4 o'clock. That's the work of your hand. We're grateful. And thank you for the people who were led to share prayer requests. For the person who shared about the heart complications, Father, we pray that that would all work out. Give this person comfort and peace to trust you through the process. We pray that the complications would be easily resolved, and we pray for restoration back to health. Pray for those battling with depression, anxiety, and despair, that, Father, through faith in Christ, that you would heal their hearts and give them hope. And Father, we know that as we rest in you, you know everything even before we do, and you have everything in your hands. So whatever this person is going through, Father, lead them through, and lead them in a way that strengthens their faith and gives them more compassion for people going through the same thing. And Father, for our government, I pray for both our state and federal government that, Father, somehow there would be a return to the principles our forefathers had of liberty and prosperity. Father, we are not going in a good direction on both state and government, federal government levels, Father. So I pray for those who know Jesus in the government, that you would increase their impact to encourage people to come back to the principles that we know are right and correct. And last, Father, for our country, there's all sorts of evil in this world, that evil would be defeated. And Father, we know that Satan's been defeated at the cross, but evil will be finally defeated when Jesus Christ returns. And so, Father, now we turn our attention to Gail. Father, this woman has been through a lot. She's been an incredible testimony and encouragement to many, many people. Even with all the chemo treatments that she has gone through so far. Father, I pray that you give her a peace that surpasses all understanding as she goes under surgery tomorrow. To know that Jesus is the great physician, and Jesus will be guiding the doctor's hands, the anesthesiologist, the entire team in there. That, Father, we want a good outcome here. We pray, Father, that even while she's in surgery, somehow, some way, that the Holy Spirit would witness to her spirit, knowing that she is well in hand. And for Vince, Father, we lift him up before you. We lift him up before you because I know he loves his wife and he's concerned for his wife. And Father, as the day progresses and he gets updates from the hospital, I just pray Father, that they would be encouragements to his heart, and help us to reach out to him. Holy Spirit, we don't even have to say a word. All we can do is listen and say, how are you doing, brother? So, Father, we hold this dear couple up to you, and we pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Thank you. All righty. Mary Lou, do we have the... We're going to hand sheets of paper out to you. Do not look at them until I tell you. Okay? We'll have a little bit of fun this morning. Don't cheat. So wait until you get them. All right? If you need a pen, we'll give you a pen. This actually has to do with the sermon today, so... Be patient. Pay attention. Now, we all know that some people might get done with this before others, and that's okay, all right? But I'm going to ask you, once you are done, not to say anything, all right? We'll look at it together. All right, we almost got everybody. They're okay. For those of you who have taken this quiz before, just sit and enjoy it. All right? All right. So here's the directions. The directions at the top of your page say, read everything, follow directions, and you have 2 minutes to complete this. I'm going to make it a minute and a half. All right? So read it carefully. You ready? Go. You can, okay, keep going. You're doing good? All right. Okay. These are the bold people, not afraid. Okay. 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 You got about 40 seconds left. Okay. Tight. All right. And 10 seconds left. Okay, time's up. Time's up. First of all, let me say you're all good sports. Okay? Second of all, I want you to read the last thing on that page. What's the last thing on the page say? That's what it says. That's what it says first, right? Yeah, you did well. If it's any consolation, 95% of people go through the whole thing before they read that last line. When you should have gone through the whole thing, read the last line, you save yourself a whole lot of work, right? Have any of you taken this before? Okay. I mean, it's nothing. I got this off an education site. Melissa found it for me. And the reason why I'm starting out with this is because it goes to the fact that too many times when we do something, especially reading, we're rushing. And I'm afraid we do that with the Bible also. We rush through it to the point where, you know, we really don't get as much out of it as we ought to. And, you know, I know the classic arguments that are going to come up. The classic arguments are this. Well, Pastor, we don't have as much time as you do, right? I give you my schedule any day of the week. And you tell me how much time that we have. So it's not a matter of schedule. I want to suggest to you it's a matter of priorities. Right? Yeah, on most of your televisions, even, you know, with the digital age, you're looking at a program, you could actually cut the commercials out, right, if you wanted to. But sometimes I feel like when we sit and read the Bible, we press the fast forward until we get to something that we really like, and we miss everything in between. So here's what I want to do this morning. This is only a couple of verses, all right? In fact, I have to pick it up in the middle of verse 5 here. Follow this with me. If you have your Bibles, we're in Colossians chapter 1, verse 5. We're starting in the middle. Faith and love that spring from the hope stored up for you in heaven, about which you already have heard in the true message of the gospel. Here's where it's easy to skip over, because that phrase, the true message of the gospel, has some great meaning to it. And you might say, well, of course the gospel's true. But let me remind you, there's a lot of gospels floating out there that are not true. There's a lot. They sound good. Some sound real bad. But some sound real good, very close, but they're not the true gospel. So as I was preparing for this this week, I'm saying, okay, Lord, what are some of the elements of a true gospel? All right. Why did Paul write this here? Very simply, there were so many false gospels being spread in the church at this time, especially Gnosticism. Gnosticism means that Jesus Christ is not fully God, fully man. He's just kind of like another stepping stone to know God deeper. And that if you really want to know God deeper, you got to perform all sorts of, or climb all sorts of stairs to get to know God deeper. That is not biblical. It's not true. But people gravitate to it like crazy. And, you know, it sounds like, well, yeah, I want a deeper knowledge of God. Here's where it comes from, okay? It comes from our ego and our pride, because in our ego and pride, we feel like we really have to earn our way with God. No, you don't. The Bible says that the Christian life is by faith, through the power of the Holy Spirit, and by faith alone. And when you start adding stuff to the gospel, now you have a false gospel. Any gospel that denies that Jesus Christ is fully God, fully man, is wrong. Any gospel. And there's a lot out there. Listen. You can go home and turn on some preachers on television. Not all of them. There's a lot of good ones. But you can turn on some preachers on television. I guarantee you, you will not hear one word about man's problem. What's man's problem? Mankind. Sin. You won't hear a word about it. We have a problem. We're born with a problem. We're born with Adam's nature. And that's a big problem. That problem causes a rift between us and God that we can't even think about, how can I say it, building a bridge to mend that rift. No amount of good works, no amount of religion, no amount of anything will ever span the gulf to make us right before God. And yet, there's a lot of false gospels out there that would say, yeah, no, you're all right. You're okay with God. No, we're not. Now, God still loves us, but we're not okay with him because it's sin. Let me give you some of the cultural influences that have eroded this whole thing. All right? The whole LGBTQ stuff that propagates this thing that you know, people who are LGBTQ, whatever other initials, are born that way. That's a lie from Satan. It's an absolute lie from Satan. Listen, we're all born sinful. I'm not picking on the LGBTQ people, but we're all born sinful. And if we act on that sin, it's still sin, correct? So now you got, you know, you got the media, you got the government, you got everybody else saying, no, 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 this is okay. This is, no, it's not okay. And now you have mainline churches and some smaller churches that are battling over this, saying, no, 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 it's okay. It's not okay. I'm a sinner. So is everybody else. And if we're going to have a right relationship with God, we have to come to God on his terms. And that is in repentance and faith. Now, at least I just pick on one area, okay? You know, this whole critical race theory. I mean, this is dangerous stuff. This is teaching our children that you're not judged by your character anymore. You're judged by the color of your skin. In the Bible, it says Jesus so loved who? The world. Everyone. That whoever should trust in him shall have eternal life. So he doesn't know skin color, right? Why should we? And then, I got an amen over here. And then, you know, we go into gospels in other churches. In Lenoka Harbor, there is a headquarters for a church called the Unitarian Church. And they teach everybody's okay. Everyone's going to heaven. Well, what about original sin? How do we get past that? The sin nature we inherit from Adam, right? How do we get past that? You're automatically forgiven? Well, here's the popular religion, by the way. The popular religion, and I've heard this on talk shows and other stuff, God didn't need to have Jesus crucified. He could just forgive sin just like this. No, he couldn't, because sin had to be paid for. God's a holy God, and sin demands death, and the death of a perfect sacrifice. And God, even though it's our problem, God provides the solution. And the solution is Jesus Christ, fully God, fully man, who could be our substitute on the cross, to pay the penalty for our sin, which is what he did on Calvary. I don't have time to go through all of the stuff that contributes to false gospels, but I want you to be aware how easily we can be deceived, how easily we can be misled. And listen, you know, you and I, as Christ followers, we need to show love to everyone, all right? We're not going on witch hunts or anything like that. We need to show love to everyone. It doesn't mean we need to accept sinful lifestyles. And also doesn't mean that we don't share the love of Christ with people, no matter what's going on in their lives, and share the gospel with them. Because Jesus died for everyone. He died for everyone. But we got to come to him on his terms. So the real gospel has to have provision in it for the explanation of man's problem, sin. Sin is a result of pride, right? I don't need God. I could be God, right? I can figure it out better than God. And no, he can't, right? It comes from pride. And the what we call original sin affects every area of our lives, every area. Doesn't mean we're as bad as we can be. It just means every area of our lives are affected by Adam's sin. There's nothing you and I can do in and of ourselves to earn God's forgiveness. The debt's just too big. No amount of good works or religion or philosophy can save us. Did you catch that? Realize Jesus was anti-religion? He wasn't anti-church. He was anti-religion. Let me explain that to you. Religion is man's attempt to earn God's forgiveness and favor. Christianity is God's solution to man's problem by sending his one and only son to die for us. It's a big difference. It's a big difference. Once we know the nature of our sinfulness, then we can acknowledge our need for a savior, because we can't save ourselves. We need a savior whose sacrifice meets all of God's requirement, and his name was Jesus Christ. And he's the only one who is holy and perfect, fully God, fully man. You see, God reached down to man. He didn't have to, but he did in his grace. Anyone want to define what grace is? God's unmerited favor. In other words, God didn't have to do this. In love, he said, you have a problem. I want to give you the solution. In love. What's mercy? Mercy is that he doesn't give us what we do deserve. And that's hell. Right? Through faith in Christ, we have everlasting life. Listen. I want you to get used to a term called substitutionary sacrifice, which simply means this, that Jesus went to the cross in my place as my substitute to pay the debt for my sin I could never repay. Got that? Substitutionary sacrifice. There are many gospels around that ignore that today. Here's the way I put it. I've told this to you many times. If you were the only person on earth, God still would have sent the Son for you, to die for you, and to make atonement for your sin on the cross, right? The resurrection. If Jesus died on the cross, which we know he did, he was buried, if he never came out of that tomb, we'd have no Christianity. There are too many religions around that deny the resurrection of Jesus Christ. You see, our Savior lives. Our Savior lives. When Dr. Neuenhaus was preparing his message, he called me and he said, can we end the message with "because he lives"? I said, absolutely, right? And his message was on anxiety and the Christian, right? Because he lives, we can face tomorrow. We couldn't say that with faith if Jesus was still in the tomb. Jesus is the only religious leader, if I can use that term, who conquered the tomb. Who conquered the tomb? Then the offer of grace to repentance and faith, salvation by faith alone in the person and work of Jesus Christ. That's it. We're coming up on Reformation Sunday, which is October 31st. And in, you know, Luther's theses, the 95 theses that he posted that day, it was salvation by faith alone. Sola fide, he called it. Not by faith and works, by faith alone. You know, if God had made it by faith and works, you know what we would do? Yeah, I believe in Jesus, but let me tell you what I did. Let me tell you how good a Christian I am. No, I'm just a sinner saved by grace. And when we realize that, now we're on the right track, when we realize we start our journey with Christ through faith, we continue our journey with Christ by faith, and we end our journey in Christ realizing our faith. It's amazing. It's amazing. This has to be part of the gospel. Gospel's good news. That's what it means, right? Hey, you got a problem. I got good news for you. That's what it means. The problem is, in and of ourselves, we're sinners. We inherited it from Adam. But the good news is God loves us so much, he provided the solution through his son, his one and only son, the Lord Jesus Christ. There's another element here for the true gospel. The true gospel is never meant to keep to yourself. It's meant to be shared. It's meant to be shared in love. I'm not talking about leaving here and hitting people over the head with verses, okay? I'm talking about building relationships, earning the right to share the gospel with them. But listen, the church in North America is much too silent. It's much too silent on the gospel. It's much too silent on the Lord Jesus Christ. It's much too silent on sin. Generally speaking, over the last 30, 35 years, church has become a spectator sport. And it's not right. God ordained the church to be an active, loving force in this world to share the gospel with other people in love. Is it popular? Nope. Is it getting less popular? Yes. So what? Why is that stopping us? Why aren't we being obedient to Christ? Because, listen, obedience and furtherance of the gospel means we're going to be obedient no matter what. No matter if people call us names, no matter if they think we're strange, no matter if they, hey, right now we have the freedom to do it, barely. Barely. What if that changes? I'm going to be here still preaching. I'm going to be still sharing the gospel. Listen to what I'm going to say. When the true gospel is active in people and in churches, nothing can keep it from spreading. The government can't. The military can't. Laws can't. Nothing could keep it from spreading. However, saying that, obedience sometimes requires sacrifice, doesn't it? Obedience is going to say, Lord, no matter what comes my way, I'm going to be obedient to you. Right? Gee, it's illegal to share the gospel? Okay, Lord, I'll take that risk. I'll take that risk. You need to read some missionary books. When you read some missionary biography and missionary books, many years ago, missionaries would take two things out to them over to third world countries, as we call them. First thing, of course, was their Bible. The second thing was a casket. And they packed all their possessions in a casket because every one of them fully expected that at some point they'd be martyred for their faith. They were willing to do that. And as a result, the gospel spread. Do you realize that the greatest, healthiest growth for churches in church history has been when the church has been persecuted? Not when the church is fat, dumb, and happy. Okay? I'm giving you a lot of stuff to think about this morning because you don't hear enough. What you're hearing on television many times with some of the television preachers is that if you have enough faith, you're going to have enough money. If you have enough faith, you're never going to have a problem. If you have enough faith, you're going to have a whole lot of health, right? If you have enough faith, you're going to have this, you're going to have that. Listen, by their own standard and their own measure, Jesus was a failure. For 3.5 years, he was homeless. Poor, didn't know where his next meal was coming from. But he wasn't a failure. He's a savior. The American church has to wake up. We really have to wake up. We have to wake up to these things and understand the gospel, when it's preached and taught and shared in its entirety, cannot be held back. Being faithful in the good times and especially when suffering for Christ will further the gospel. Letting the Holy Spirit and the Word transform us from the inside out to be more like Christ. Sharing the gospel indeed and then in the world as we earn the right to share the gospel with other people. And let me just ask you for 1 minute to remember the Great Commission. Go into your world and do what? Make disciples, learners. This is Jesus' words, not mine. Teaching them, Jesus says, all that I have taught you, and baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit. That's not just for pastors. That's not just for missionaries. That is for the church. Well, you know, we're only 30 people. What can we do? You know the answer to that? You can turn the world upside down. Jesus did it with 11 who were committed to him and a traitor. Right? Started to turn the world upside down. Did it cost? Absolutely. But I want to tell you, there's no greater honor than serving Jesus Christ. I don't have the time. Yes, you do. We all make time for things that are important to us. Last Sunday, as Marilyn and I were driving, we're still on vacation, I noticed that Walmart was packed Sunday morning. Walmart was packed. I noticed that the sports fields were packed. I noticed that the gyms were packed. And I noticed how empty the churches were. Somehow we got it backwards. We got it backwards. Now listen. There's nobody innocent here, okay? We've all been guilty of getting lazy. We've all been guilty of Boy, please don't hate me for saying this, but we've all been guilty of almost treating God like Santa Claus. Here's what I want. Here's what I want from you, God. And it's wrong. It is wrong. The question ought to be, Father, how can I serve you? What can I do for you? Handing out Bibles, giving away coats, sharing the gospel with people, even if they call you a jerk. You're one of those born-againers? Well, I guess so, you know? I don't know, but I can tell you this. I'm no better than anybody else. Well, you act like it. I hope you don't think I act like it. I know some people do. I'm just a sinner saved by grace. Well, you know, I come to church and all they ask for is money. I had a guy tell me this, a German butcher. It's going back a couple of years. And I don't tell people I'm a pastor. Somebody told him I was a pastor. Not that I'm ashamed of it, but I know walls go up, you know, every once in a while when you do that. And I said, well, if you come to my church, you're not going to hear me ask for money unless the text talks about it. Well, I was in one church, they took 3 collections. One wasn't even enough. And I said, this is not about you and church. This is about you and Jesus. There's a big difference here, okay? It's about you and Jesus. Now, you need to go to church, don't get me wrong. But the question is not what the church is doing, what you like or don't like about the church. The question is, do you know Jesus? That's the question. Have you come to a point in your life where you know you need a Savior? You're a sinner with a problem. And there's a Savior with a solution. Will you receive him by faith? Because he died for you on the cross. We're going to take time and come around the Lord's table now, which is a celebration of the cross, isn't it? The cross and the resurrection of Jesus Christ. And as we do that, I want you to meditate on these things. And if you know the Lord Jesus Christ as your personal Lord and Savior, you can participate in this. All right. You don't have to be a member of the church. You just need to be a believer. If you haven't come to the point yet where you trusted Christ as your personal Lord and Savior, you can do that right now when you sit. Just to say to the Lord, Lord, I need you. I'm a sinner. I need to be saved. I repent of my sin and I turn to you. Would you come into my heart? And so as we prepare, I'm going to ask those serving communion to come up. The servers have gloves on. If you are still not sure that you want to touch anything, we have pre-prepared communion up here too. So it's your choice. Who else are we waiting for? I'm sorry? Oh, Lydia, she's in the ladies' room, I think. Okay. So we can start, all right? Butch, take this time to meditate. For us who know Christ, this is a time of self-examination. That's just what the scripture says. We're all sinners, right? This is a good time to let the Holy Spirit and the Word of God bring to our attention sin that needs to be confessed and repented of so we can come to the table and come clean with Jesus. Isn't that great? It's like a new marking period. Right? You may have failed a couple of tests, but now you're getting a fresh start. So, Lydia, if you wouldn't mind helping. No, don't be sorry. It's all right. We're going to pass out the bread. I'm asking everybody to take some time and hold the bread and we'll partake together. Can I ask you before we partake of the bread, how many of you saw the Passion of the Christ? I know it's hard to look at, very difficult. My own opinion, I think everybody should see it because that's another portion of scripture that we skip over and lightly read. And you know the ironic part of that whole thing, the suffering wasn't being disfigured physically and the hurt physically. That was part of it. The suffering was that moment when Jesus took on your sin and mine and the sin of the world. And for that time, Jesus bore the wrath of his Father for sin he didn't even commit, but for our sin. That's the agony of the cross. So Jesus, when he was preparing his disciples, took bread at that Last Supper. And he broke it and he says, I would like you to use this as a symbol of my body, which is going to be broken for you. would you do this in remembrance of him? I'll ask the cup be passed out, and would you hold it and we'll partake together? I love to hear little children. Emily, can you bring me back to the verse? Go on to the next verse, please. Listen to this. In the same way, the gospel is bearing fruit and growing throughout the world. That's the furtherance of the gospel. Listen, the largest Christian church right now is in North Korea. And they're persecuted and killed for their faith. Just as it has been doing among you since the day you heard it and truly understood God's grace. Can you go on with that? You learned it from Epaphras, who came from Ephesus, probably discipled by Paul, our dear fellow servant, who is a faithful minister of Christ on our behalf, who also told us of your love in the Spirit. And listen to me. Churches need to be filled again. People need to come back to church. They need to come back to Jesus. They need to come back to the scripture. I'm preaching to the choir. I'm so grateful all of you are here. And I understand that. But we have a lot of work to do. That's called the furtherance of the gospel. Invite people out. Tell them about the Jesus who loves them. In times of uncertainty, especially, where is their hope besides Christ? There is none other. It's not going to come from Washington, D.C. It's not going to come from other people. It's going to come from Jesus and him alone. Jesus took the third cup, called the redemption cup, of that Passover supper, and he used it as a lesson. And he says, this is the symbol of his blood. His blood, which was shed for the forgiveness of sin, the only blood that can wipe away sin. It is the blood that seals a new covenant. And that new covenant is that he will never leave us or forsake him as we trust him as Lord and Savior. When you do this, would you do this in remembrance of him? Oh, thank you. Kristen and Chip, if you would come up. As we end the service, I picked a familiar song, and the song is Amazing Grace, but it's with the tag, My Chains Fell Off, My Heart Is Free. It kind of parallels and can it be? Listen, the moment you put your trust in Jesus Christ as your personal Lord and Savior, you're free. I don't care where you live, you're free. I don't care what kind of government you have, you're free. Because no one and nothing could ever take you away from the love of God for you in Christ. Amen? Would you stand, please? God is good.
All the time.
And all the time. If you're free Tuesday, 10 o'clock, we have prayer meeting here. Men, if you're free.
Men.
If you're free at 7 o'clock, Tuesday night, we're going through 1 John. It's a great study. Mid-October, I'm hoping we might be able to start Sunday school. We'll keep you posted on that. And for the adults, I'm going to be teaching from Daniel. And the whole theme is how to live your faith in a hostile world. Okay? So those are some of the things to be thinking of. Please, let's not forget Gail and Vince as we go forward. Let's pray. Father, we thank you for this time together here today. Spirit, would you release us from this worship service empowered by you to love people and to take the gospel out of these four walls and invite people to know Jesus Christ. And I pray this in Jesus' name. And all God's people said,
amen.
You could do a little better. All God's people said,
amen.
God bless you. Dismissed. Thank you all for coming today.